The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, we're gonna experience a little craziness together first. We'll do that first. And then in the second half of the show, in the third segment, we'll talk to Beth Mull, who's the director for Love Life here in the Triangle area of the North Carolina. They've got their Week 40 event coming up Saturday, November 12th, which is an awesome celebration. Love Life out in front of abortion clinics every Saturday for 40 weeks in a row. I've been involved with Love Life for years, had a bunch of my students out there just a week ago. So that's awesome. That'll give you an opportunity to take a stand for life, especially here in North Carolina, where we're still very much a pro-abortion state, even though Roe versus Wade is overturned at the federal level. So that'll be really important. And then the fourth segment, if you are looking for something inspiring to do the weekend of November 4th and 5th, Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University has the Standing for Freedom Biblical Principles in a Woke World. So we're going to find out about that. Ryan Lee Heffelbein is going to call in. He's the director of the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. We'll talk to him in the fourth segment. But in these first two segments, let's start with somebody that let's all pray and hope one day becomes the president of the United States. So Ron DeSantis the other day had a debate against Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist has been around the block a time or two down there in Florida. And this is a great example of how to play this game and how to win and how to lead. So I just want you to be encouraged by these three clips. This is Ron DeSantis versus Charlie Crist. Let's run the first one. You ready, Josh? Let's do the first one. Ron DeSantis versus Charlie Crist.
Denying girls and women athletes the right to compete fairly, I think that's divisive. I think it's divisive to rip opportunities away from our girls in the state of Florida. And you want to talk about divisive? After Charlie Crist won his primary, he said, anyone that supports the governor, you have hate in your heart and I don't want your vote. Well, think what that means. I'm endorsed by every police group in the state of Florida. I'm endorsed by the firefighters. I'm endorsed by the truckers, the nurse anesthetists, retail federation, farm bureau. The whole cross section of the state of Florida is backing me. They do not have hate in their hearts because
that's
they reject
time, Governor.
Charlie Crist. They want to keep Florida going and they want to keep Florida free.
How about that? Just never waste time. He's just whammo. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He's got the courage of his convictions, and he's a bold leader. That's Ron DeSantis just continuing to mop the floor with Charlie Crist. Let's go right to the next one. These are really fun, aren't they? I love these. All right, let's go to the next one. Ron DeSantis.
Well, I was thinking back in the aftermath of this to a poor woman over 40 years ago in Jamaica, and she found herself pregnant. Didn't think there'd be much opportunity to have a child, was urged to abort the baby, went to get the abortion, and, you know, for whatever reason, and maybe we can't explain, that didn't end up happening, and she ended up having the baby. And I think about that because a few months ago, I appointed her daughter to be the first Jamaican-American justice in the history of the Florida Supreme Court. I just think we're better when everybody counts. I understand not everyone's going to be born in perfect circumstances, but I would like to see everybody have a shot. I'm proud of the 15 weeks that we did. I know Charlie Crist opposes that, even though the baby is fully formed, has a heartbeat, can feel pain, and can suck their thumb. He also supports sex-selective abortions, which is used to discriminate against little girls. He supports dismemberment abortions, where they literally will tear the baby limb from limb, and he supports taxpayer funding of abortion all the way up until the moment of birth, and that is wrong.
Boom. See, now he just comes right out with it. He's got the courage of his convictions, and he's bold, and he tells the truth. That's why they can't stand the truth. That's why it's like bringing a vampire out into the daylight. That's why the vampire screamed, liar. That's the deal. If you're going to stand and you're going to lead, then you better be ready to stand alone. That's just the deal. Okay, that's just part of it, especially in this world. You're going to speak out against the darkness, get ready. But Ron DeSantis obviously is not worried about speaking out against the darkness, and we need more people like him, men and women like him in positions of authority all over this country. All right, let's do one more Ron DeSantis while we're having fun.
You're a 15-year-old. You can't go get a tattoo in the state of Florida, yet we're saying you could get a double mastectomy. Of course not. It is inappropriate to do this for minors, and in Florida, we are not going to allow that to happen. You're a 15-year-old. You can't go get a tattoo in the state of Florida. Yet we're
pretty strong, right? So he's coming out. You can get a tattoo in the state of Florida. You can stop it. You can get a tattoo in the state of Florida.
We are not going to let.
But what, you can't get a tattoo, but you can get a double mastectomy. Now he's heading straight into the whole transgendered movement. And this is when, did you see this the other day? I'm trying to keep my stuff together here. So Joe Biden, the president of the United States, essentially. Joe Biden, the president of the United States the other day, does an interview with a trans woman. That's a guy who's delusional, has all kinds of mental health problems, emotional problems, I would add probably spiritual problems. And so he likes to present himself as a woman, but he's obviously just a skinny guy that's all messed up. And this guy gets into the White House in order to interview Joe Biden, and Joe Biden just going along with it, just totally serious. And then Joe Biden comes out basically in that interview and says, yeah, he thinks it's immoral for any state to get in the way of a gender therapy, which would include like double mastectomies for young people, young girls who are convinced they think that they're a boy. And so I shouldn't have breasts, so I need a double mastectomy. And he's like, yeah, there's not a state in the union that should be able to do that. That should be able to restrict any of these treatments, hormone blockers, all that stuff. And there's massive, and I praise the Lord for this. There's a massive movement afoot of people that are trying to detransition, that have been down that road, that were sold a bill of goods, that you go through this transgender reassignment, start with the hormones and all that therapy, and then eventually set us loose in the operating room, and we'll make all your dreams come true, like Pedro for president. You're going to feel fine. You're going to be who you think you are. And then you get to the other end of that rainbow, and there's no pot of gold. And there's all kinds of medical problems for the rest of your life. It doesn't deliver. It doesn't solve the problem, because the problem isn't to be solved with a scalpel. It needs to be solved with counseling, and a lot of it. And everybody, nobody wants to touch it. It's the third rail. Oh, I can't go there. Yes, you can, and you must. For the sake, let's steal a line from the liberals. For the sake of the children, we're going to tell the truth about this stuff. Okay, and that's what Ron DeSantis is doing. It doesn't matter how many people in the crowd are screaming at him. It doesn't matter what they call him. He's just going to continue to speak the truth, and that's a lesson for all of us. Watch your tone, absolutely. Be compassionate, absolutely. Be patient, absolutely. Love people where they're at, absolutely. Compromise on the truth, one inch? No, not ever. Never. Why? Because people's lives are on the line. It matters what you say. It matters that you take a stand for the truth. It matters on these moral and ethical issues. And God bless Ron DeSantis for just knocking it out of the park. He's absolutely not afraid to do anything, which is great. He's not afraid to speak the truth. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. When we come back, Fetterman and Dr. Oz from last night. Totally bizarre. Can't believe this guy's running for Senate. Well, can't believe the president is the president. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. After this segment, we're going to talk to Beth Moll. She's the director for Love Life here in the Triangle. Week 40, which is a big celebration. God's been doing awesome things with Love Life for the past several years, out in front of abortion clinics all around the country, praying and praising the Lord. And we see miracles happen, and it's just been an awesome thing to be a part of. So we're going to talk about that in the third segment. In the fourth segment, Ryan Lee Helfenbein, who's the director of the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. They've got a big event, Standing for Freedom, Biblical Principles in a Woke World. We talked about that yesterday with John Amanchukwu, talking about his book, Erased. I got all that information today, so I'm going to be reaching out to all of you that called in to get a book. I'll get your mailing address, and then we'll get those things off to you. So we should be able to get that to you in the next week or so. So thanks for that yesterday, but let's go back to some craziness. So this is Fetterman, who shouldn't be running for anything in Pennsylvania yet. The Democrats put him up for U.S. Senate. There's only 100 of them. There's 100 U.S. senators, and you're going to put this guy in the U.S. Senate? Because they know he's just going to be a puppet. Who do I vote for? And they'll just tell him, and he'll just push the right button. He brings no leadership, and he's cognitively really impaired. And so you judge for yourself. He had a major stroke earlier this year. The guy should not be running, just like Joe Biden shouldn't be president. Yet, they don't mind having puppets. The progressives don't. Not at all. It's irresponsible. It's disgusting, this whole thing. But listen for yourself. This is Fetterman versus Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania for the U.S. Senate seat. Let's play the first one.
Now, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able to, that's the most American bargain, that if you work full time, you should be able to live in dignity as well. True. And I believe they haven't have any businesses being We can't have businesses being subsidized by not paying individuals that just simply can't afford to pay their own way. Now, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able.
So that guy be in the U.S. Senate? There's only 100 of them, two from every state. He should not be in the U.S. Senate. He shouldn't. First of all, he doesn't have the experience. The guy shouldn't even be on the ticket, but he is. Because they know he's just a puppet, just like the president of the United States. That's the state that we're in. Isn't it sad? It's sad. It's disgusting. It's immoral, unethical, and sad. And infuriating. I'll throw that in there. All right, let's do another one. Fetterman versus Dr. Oz. Try to make sense of this.
Second, Mr. Oz, I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking, but there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and I stand, and I do support fracking.
Okay, thank you. Second, Mr. Oz, okay, I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight.
Okay, 2018, it was only 4 years ago. He's totally anti-fracking now. I support fracking. And I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying this is the guy that they're comfortable putting in the U.S. Senate. People in Pennsylvania, what are you thinking? Are you that controlled by your political ideology that you refuse to deal with reality? The answer for a lot of people on the left is yes. Yes, they're that given over. That's a reprobate mind right there. Completely controlled by a narrative and by ideology. Reality, the fact that the guy's a stroke victim and a recent stroke victim and clearly does not have the mental capacity to do the job on his own. By the way, he's having a big screen there. He has to read the things that are being said because he can't process it verbally, audibly. He has to read it on the screen. And even then, you hear what he's saying. This is the state of the nation we're in. That people like this, including the president of the United States, are in positions of power at all. It's just pathetic. The emperor has no clothes. Doesn't anybody see that? Okay, speaking of the emperor has no clothes, listen to this one. This is Hillary raising money, Hillary Clinton raising money for this, what is it called? They're talking about literally stealing the 2024 election. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I thought only Republicans claimed bogus elections. She's claiming it before we're even there. So listen to this. This is just crazy. Play this.
Hello, indivisibles. I'm here to highlight something that is keeping me up at night. Mm-hmm. And I know this group really understands what I'm about to say.
Yes.
I know we're all focused on the 2022 midterm elections, and they are incredibly important. But we also have to look ahead, because you know what? Our opponents certainly are. Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next election.
Only Republicans.
And they're not making a secret of it. The right-wing controlled Supreme Court may be poised to rule on giving state legislatures, yes, you heard me that correctly, state legislatures the power to overturn presidential elections. Just think, if that happens, the 2024 presidential election could be decided not by the popular vote or even by the anachronistic electoral college, but by state legislatures.
Okay, stop it there. All right, so this is the fundraising thing for this organization. So she's talking about right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election. They're not making a secret of it, blah, 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 blah. That they're going to, the right-wing-controlled Supreme Court is going to rule on a case that would then allow state legislatures to overturn presidential elections. Right? That's what she's saying. But even assuming a state legislature were to try something that politically suicidal, this is Severino, Kerry Severino, president of JCN. All right. So this is somebody that actually understands the legal system. It lacks the power to override Congress's determination of election day and to ignore its own election rules, both of which it would be doing in such a scenario, talking about state legislatures. The case set for oral arguments on December 7th stems from a lawsuit by the GOP-controlled North Carolina General Assembly. Good job, guys. Over a state court's invalidation of congressional redistricting maps from 2020 census. North Carolina lawmakers will argue that the U.S. Constitution gives sole authority to regulate federal elections to state legislatures, which is exactly what the Constitution does, by the way. and say that the state court could not point to an example of how the new maps violated state law. Instead, the lawmakers argue the court engaged in unfettered policymaking, judicial activism, by rejecting the maps based on a broad state commitment to hold free and fair elections. Clinton made a leap from there to suggest that if the Supreme Court rules in favor of North Carolina, the 2024 presidential election could somehow be decided by Republican-controlled state legislatures. Dun, 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 dun. Just think, the 2024 presidential election, she said, could be decided not by the popular vote, blah, 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 but by Republican-controlled state legislatures. Derek Mueller, election law professor at the University of Iowa College of Law, said Clinton's comments are false. But you're not going to see that on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. It's fear-mongering designed to fundraise, he said. The case will not permit state legislatures to overturn presidential election results, and no holding from the court will permit that. There are many other limitations, including Congress's power to dictate the time of holding elections, due process, and equal protection that will restrict any such exercise of power, he continued. Jason Snead, executive director of the Honest Elections Project, echoed a similar sentiment, saying, by any standard, Hillary Clinton is an election denier. She is sowing doubt, he said, in future elections and spreading false claims about the Supreme Court in order to fundraise. That is reprehensible and deserves to be called out. Except she won't. Why? Because hashtag big tech. I get on the air and I say the COVID vaccine is not a vaccine and we get permanently booted from YouTube. Because by definition, the COVID shot is not a vaccine. A vaccine prevents you from getting something, and the COVID shot does not, which is kind of funny because Joe Biden just got his like 867th shot just yesterday. So Hillary Clinton out there completely lying, and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube are fine with that. Twitter maybe not for much longer because Elon Musk is going to buy it. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Several years ago here in Raleigh, I met a guy named Justin Reeder. Justin is from Charlotte, business guy down there, and God just broke his heart over the issue of abortion. And he came to town. We had lunch. I think Josh Kappas was there, and I was there, and a couple other people. And just talking about, hey, we got to mobilize the church to engage the abortion issue. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And at the same time, if you had said, hey, Steve, do you think a Roe versus Wade is ever going to get overturned? I would say, I hope so. I'm going to pray for that. But if I were brutally honest with you at the time, and I have talked about this in the past, I would say, no, I don't have a lot of hope that it's going to get overturned. Oh, me of little faith. And so ever since that lunch 4 or 5 years ago, it's been amazing to watch what God has done with Love Life, not just here in the Triangle, but around the country. And then 40 weeks of prayer and praise, a great Christian witness right out in front of the abortion clinics, the killing fields around the country. And so coming up on Saturday, November 12th is week 40. 40 weeks gestation, 40 weeks Love Life leads people from the church out to the abortion clinic. I just had a bunch of my students out there recently. And it's a really, really powerful experience. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you need to get engaged and show up for this, which is really an awesome celebration as well. Beth Mull is going to help us understand that. She's the director for Love Life here in the Triangle. Week 40 coming up on Saturday, November 12th. Beth, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So kind of get us up to date on what God has been doing through Love Life. And it's great to hear stories and to see the numbers and what God is doing. But it's been a pretty amazing ride.
Yeah, I just got into pro-life ministry last November. So this is my first year. And it has been a grand adventure. We've had such a wonderful year, and as you mentioned, Roe versus Wade getting overturned was obviously a wonderful moment for our ministry and this cause, and we thank everybody that fought for this for so many years, so many legislators and organizations and people that came way before Love Life that just gave their time and treasure. So we celebrate that at our prayer walk. Celebrate that God put that in motion and that Roe versus Wade is overturned. So we've had a wonderful year. We've had 53 churches come out just this year, and that 3,000 people, 3,000 Christians have come to our local abortion center this year in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so it's just incredible. Every time I say it, I get chills because we started off small and recovering from COVID, and just God has blessed us so immensely. It's more than we could ever dream of.
Yeah, and so take us, Beth, kind of through a what happens on a regular Saturday at an abortion clinic, and there's three of them here in the Raleigh area, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, others around North Carolina, others around the country, obviously, but a regular Saturday, but then November 12th, Saturday, November 12th, is going to be anything but, quote-unquote, regular.
Right. So each Saturday we have a church adopt a week of prayer, fasting. We also provide education, so we'll come to your church and give a 15-minute presentation where you hear the tragic truth of abortion. This is where we share that abortion is the leading cause of death in the U.S., and 17,000 babies are killed weekly. In North Carolina, abortions are allowed up to 20 weeks, and 1 in 4 women will have an abortion in their lifetime. So most Christians just do not know this information. It kind of blows their mind. They don't know that we have 3 abortion clinics within, you know, a 15-minute drive. And so we're really there to educate. And then we ask a church to pray and fast. And then the last piece is to come on a mission trip. And we say it is a mission trip because you're going to the darkest place of our city. And we're basically sharing the gospel, praying, worshiping, and asking God to move in the hearts of these moms and dads and abortion workers. So that's our typical Saturday, and it has been amazing. We've had anywhere from 35 to, I think our top group was 178 people come on any Saturday. And then week 40, though, we're inviting everybody to come back, all our partners and brand new churches. Anybody who wants to come, you can bring your pastor, you can come, any individual can come and just pray with us, celebrate all that God has done. So it's a huge celebration. We're very excited about seeing many of the Christians back that have come out to join us. And, yeah, we're going to hear testimonies, amazing testimonies. And we're going to pray right there at that abortion center, all of us.
Yeah, and it's an amazing thing for people that have never done it, and I always urge my students every year to get involved, and we came out a little over a week ago, and I had, I think, 35 students with me, and that is the heart of darkness in America. You're not going to find a darker place in America than an abortion clinic, and you know what's happening when you're there, and over the years, I've seen God move while I was there, and even when we were there just recently, Beth, the abortion doctor didn't bother to show up. I think there were 12 women that day, and one of the couples that came out had changed their minds. And you see God move like that, which is so incredible. But to be a part of it and to be there knowing that you're not just, I don't know any convictional Christians that don't say they're pro-life. I don't know many convictional Christians that show up and actually engage in that spiritual darkness with praise and worship. And that's going to be not only the regular thing that we're there to do is intercede and be a witness for Christ for these men and women walking in there, but to celebrate all that God has done, which is super exciting. LoveLife.org, by the way, is the overall website where you can find all this information, LoveLife.org. But it really is open to every Christian, and it's a pretty amazing experience to be there personally. I mean, what was it like for you, Beth, the first time you went out for a Love Life prayer walk?
Yeah, so it was, wow, it was eye-opening. So I came out for my first time several months before I took the job as area director. And, yeah, I was just shaking because there's something about being there. You know, when I go around to churches, a lot of Christians say, well, I pray about this at home. And I'm like, well, that's wonderful. And there's like, you know, can I just stay at home and pray about this? And I'm like, well, you can, and we want you to pray about this. But there's something about being there, our presence there, that is so powerful. And most of the moms who choose life, they say it's because we were out there. Somebody was reaching out to them. Somebody said that they would help. And so, you know, we know that anywhere from 60 to 80% of women have an abortion under pressure. And so if they know somebody will help them and walk with them, they will choose life. So just being out there, you know, it is kind of a, it's a spiritual battle, right? So you feel a little nervous, but when we have a large group, you feel unified and comfort in that group. And so that's why it's so important for us to actually get Christians out there so that we can be together. Our presence matters, and we're unified. And we oftentimes have three or four churches that come on a Saturday together, all from different places around the triangle.
Yeah.
And they have different styles, you know, different styles of worship, different styles of praying. And it is so amazing. It is often the most diverse group of people there, which is so encouraging, you know, because we're used to being at our churches and
That's
they might
right.
not have that diversity. So this gives the average Christian just an opportunity to meet other believers that are courageous and that have given up their Saturday morning to
That's
come
right.
and pray and intercede for moms and dads.
Yeah, there's so many blessings, and it really broadens your experience as a Christian to be there, not just for the issue of life, but for that unity aspect that you're talking about, and to be there with other believers, most of them from other churches, other parts of town, other denominations that you don't even know. And there's so much power in that. And that's why I encourage my students. I'm like, just this is going to affect your entire walk with Christ. It's not just about the life issue. Yes, that's primarily our focus. That's primarily why we're there. But there's so many other pieces of fruit that come off that tree. By the way, Beth, I don't know if you know this, but in all the places that we cover on the radio, there's so many locations here that are covered by the radio show. Charlotte, North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Greensboro, North Carolina, Raleigh, North Carolina, even Greenville, South Carolina. We're on down there in Virginia, in Roanoke. We're on in Virginia. So a lot of you can access a location of a Love Life prayer walk, and especially coming up on November 12th, Saturday, November 12th. And just go to lovelife.org. You can get that information. But again, Beth, it's so important that we invite people and continue to invite people and come out, because every Christian that comes will be blessed, won't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there, even if we don't have a save during our Saturday prayer walk, like you mentioned, we've been together and we have done something so powerful with one another. We have, you know, we preach the gospel there. One of the pastors usually shares the gospel, and we say the gospel over this place, right? We speak it over the darkest place of our city. We know babies are dying. We know mothers' lives are being destroyed. I read a recent study that said women with abortion experiences are 110% more likely to struggle with severe alcohol.
Wow, yeah.
Marijuana use increases by 230%.
Yeah.
And 155% increased risk of suicide.
Well, and that's the lie that the abortion industry, we're up against the break, Beth, but that's the lie of the abortion industry. Come in here today, get it taken care of. No, it haunts you for the rest of your life. Beth Mall, thanks for calling in. Always appreciate it. Welcome back, everybody. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you as always. And coming out of our conversation with Beth Mall, the director for Love Life here in the Triangle, week 40, been standing out in front of the abortion clinics every Saturday for 40 weeks in a row. That ends on Saturday, November 12th, and then they pick it up again in February. And I've been a leader out there. I've been out there many, many, many times, taking my students out there. And that's engagement. That's not just sitting at home with your pro-life bumper sticker and you give some money to a PRC every once in a while, which is great. But do you run to the front? Do you actually show up where the battle's engaged? And for a lot of us, it's hard. You need encouragement, and you need to be challenged. You need to be informed. You need to be kind of awakened to what's going on. And that's why it's such a big help that we gather together every once in a while. And whenever you have a chance to go to an event that's going to inform you and encourage you and challenge you and kind of send you out the door, it's a great opportunity. And I want to bring up those things as often as I can, which is why we talked to Beth. And now we're going to talk to Ryan Lee Helfenbein, who's with the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. They've got an incredible event coming up the end of next week, November 4th in the evening, next Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. And then Saturday, November 5th, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Standing for Freedom, Biblical Principles in a Woke World. And that is an understatement, to say the least. So let's find out what's going to be happening up in Lynchburg. Ryan, thanks for calling in, man. How are you?
Hey, Steve, doing great and super excited about this event coming up next week. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have Eric Metaxas. We're going to have Allie B. Stuckey. We're going to have Liz Wheeler. We're going to have your Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, coming up. Carol Swain, Seth Dillon with Babylon Bee, so many others. It's a two-day event, 25-plus speakers. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and so tell us, and that's an incredible lineup, and it'll be funny to watch Mark Robinson bring the roof down. I hope you guys have reinforcements because he always does that. But tell
that's
us a,
right.
a little bit about the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University, Ryan, and then let's talk a little bit more about the purpose of the Standing for Freedom event.
Yeah, the Standing for Freedom Center basically exists to defend life, liberty, and truth to ensure the foundations of freedom exist for the next generation. We are really at the intersect of that younger generation, the youngest generation, Gen Z, and really their parents. And what we're trying to do is give them a biblical foundation and framework for understanding godly citizenship and stewardship of biblical principles and values, to take those not only to polling places, but to really take up the mantle of leadership, to recognize that there is a good and godly calling to the public square. And that's, I think, so often what is missing in our country is understanding that we are not called to be pietist separatists, that Christ has planted us in this world to be salt and light, and we have to take on our responsibility 100%. So That's what the Standing for Freedom Center is really all about. We have a theology of politics series where we're educating the next generation on how to think biblically, theologically about a lot of frontline cultural issues regarding life, regarding biblical sexuality and marriage, and so many other things. And then for the Standing for Freedom Summit, really the purpose is just to have a rallying cry, if you will. That we need to have and bring together and come together for the purposes of encouragement, really, and to understand that we might differ on various things theologically. I'll just tell you that this is a kind of an ecumenical, if you will, outreach effort, because
sure.
there's a lot of different churches, various denominations represented. You don't have to be a Baptist to be a part of it. You don't have to be a charismatic to be a part of it. But recognizing that God has united us for this purpose, and it's really to take this country back for Jesus Christ. And that's what we're really about.
Yeah, and sometimes I think a lot of us can kind of retreat into the background. We're talking to Ryan Lee Helfenbein, the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University, and the website there, because there's a lot of great resources, like you mentioned. I love the Theology of Politics series that you've done there, standingforfreedom.com. But Ryan, you know, I've been active as an activist since about 2004, been on the radio since 2007. And there's times when you just kind of want to throw your hands up. You're getting sick and tired of it. You can go abandon theology and go listen. In the end, we win. So maybe I'm not need to get too crazy about what's going on in the culture today. And a lot of people just get tired and they need to be
yep.
reinvigorated. They need to be encouraged and challenged. And then there's a whole lot of people that just don't understand. They don't understand
right.
why Christians should be in the public square, and they don't really understand the issues. We kind of turn our back and say, it's politics. It's messy. So there's a lot of reasons for a lot of different kinds of Christians to come out.
Yeah, 100%. I think it is reinvigorating. There's a younger generation that they absolutely care about issues pertaining to life and salvation, but they need leadership, bold leadership to direct and guide them, that compassion can sometimes go off the wheels. We talk about wokeism,
yep.
biblical principles for a woke world. Part of what wokeism is a weaponized compassion without an understanding of the true justice and mercy of God. And it's the relativism that has abandoned absolute truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." In an extremely postmodern and relativized world, what is truth? That's what Pontius Pilate asked Christ right before the Passion. He asked him that question, what is truth? And I think many people are asking those questions today. What is a woman? What is a man? What are these things? And you have to go back to the source of truth, which is God's word. So we really do exist to speak boldness, truth, courage that aligns already with the passion that this younger generation
yeah.
already possesses.
That's right.
But they need that direction.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I would ask
yeah.
you about that, Ryan, because you're up there at Liberty University. You're surrounded by thousands and thousands and thousands of young Christians, and I think a lot of us assume that they're not that interested in engaging the culture. But that's probably not what you're experiencing up there, is it?
No. If anything, I'm seeing droves and droves of young teenagers who absolutely want to change the world. They want to commit themselves to a cause, but they're in need of discipleship.
Yeah.
So the zeal is there. The passion is there, but they absolutely need that older generation to come alongside and direct them according to God's word. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity. I agree with what you said. When people get fatigued, they get tired, they look at what's going on and they say, yeah, what can we really do about this? There's a temptation to give up. Mm-hmm. What I want to encourage people, even your listeners who are listening now, you are not alone. And this is like the story of Elijah, where he yeah. goes before God, and he's grumbling, complaining, and he's thinking, I'm all alone in this. Woe is me. I'm all by myself. And the Lord reminds him there are 7,000 who have not bent the knee to Baal. And I think what we need to remind each other is I'm here and you are not alone. So that's one of the reasons why we're having the summit. I want to encourage people, if they're listening and they're within the vicinity, 3 hours, 4 hours.
Most of my listeners are. The vast majority of this audience is not that big of a deal to get there.
Yeah, I would encourage them absolutely come. You're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, and the amount of speakers, I mean, 25 speakers is an incredible lineup. The fact that it's Friday night and all day Saturday. Is this a typo on the website? Because I'm like, how much is this thing? It's general admission, $30. Is that right?
Yeah, it's super cheap. Yes, it's $30. we're mainly, what we're looking for is people to make a commitment. We're not looking to recoup our costs on it. We're doing this largely as a service. And so we absolutely want to serve. That's why we exist. We hope to encourage your listeners and hope to see them there.
Yeah, and pretty good timing just a few days before the election.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important. Again, whether you're fatigued, maybe you just don't know enough, you need to be encouraged, maybe you just want to be around some other believers that care about the state of the nation like you do. There's so many different reasons to go. Standing for freedom, biblical principles in a woke world, and it's getting more woke by the moment. Standingforfreedom.com is the website, standingforfreedom.com. I've got the links up at Facebook Live today, and so if you're listening on Rumble, Radio, Podcast, whatever the case may be, just go to standingforfreedom.com and you can get all the information. Ryan, I'm hoping to get up there next Friday myself. I'd love to broadcast from there.
We'll have you. We'll host you. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Get up here, and it would be amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. So I was just talking to Little Stew Baby about that earlier today, so we'll make sure we set that up. I'll get up there. I'd love
to
meet you in person.
We love Stew.
Yeah, yes. He's a wild man, isn't it? He's just out there.
He is. He gets around, and I just saw him last week. And so we're so encouraged by your show. We would absolutely want to encourage also parents. This is for you. Grandparents, this is for you as well. And it's absolutely for college students and high school students who are making decisions and plans about college. This is very important for them.
That's so awesome. And students, it's only $10. General admission, $30. 25 speakers Friday evening, all day Saturday, November 4th and 5th. Thomas Road Baptist Church, which is right there in Lynchburg, Virginia. Lynchburg is a beautiful little town along the river there. It's just a spectacular place. So make sure you check it out. I've got the links up, like I said. Standingforfreedom.com is the website, and you'll see the events there. Standingforfreedom.com. Ryan, thanks for calling in, man. I look forward to meeting you next week.
Thank you, Steve, always.
All right, you're welcome, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. God bless. And that's why, again, listen, cards on the table. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to this. I don't want to go to that. I've been doing a lot of go to this and go to that since 2004. I've set up a lot of go to this and go to that. I've hosted. I've emceed. I've done a lot of this stuff since 2004, 18 years. And I'm in here. Here it says, Steve, do you ever get discouraged? Yes. Do you ever get tired? Yes. You ever just want to blow it all off? Yes. But every once in a while, you got to pull the car into the gas station and you got to fill up the tank. And I need that myself, which means I'm pretty sure that most of you do. You probably need it as well. What a great opportunity for that. For the Standing for Freedom Center at Liberty University. Standing for Freedom, Biblical Principles in a Woke World. StandingForFreedom.com. Next Friday, November 4th, and Saturday, November 5th. I hope I'll get the chance to see you there because I'll be there myself. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.